Ryan and Michael here for a shot of Business Central and a beer. We are the most popular Business Central podcast available right now. On today's episode, we'll discuss the latest Business Central news as usual. Then we're going to be joined by Molly Fuchel of Dynamics User Group. And finally, we'll talk about the Excel Journal Import app by Chase Software. But before we get into all that, we love talking about what we're drinking on this episode. So, Ken, what's new and what are you drinking?
Glad to be here, Michael, as always. And today we are drinking, I'm drinking an Asahi Super Dry. So it's the first Japanese beer that we've had. So I was kind of perusing some of the different Japanese beers that were out there, and I think the main ones that people typically see, Sapporo is probably the number one most common, and then there's a Kirin Ichiban is also a top most popular, and then this one probably Asahi, and this is called Asahi Super Dry, and it was the Super Dry that caught my attention. And I'm like, Super Dry, like a reminds me of like a champagne, right?
Right.
And so I'm like, this sounds interesting. I gotta try this. And so it's like a light, crisp lager with not much aftertaste to it.
Just your normal everyday drinking beer.
Yeah, exactly. Like a light lager, you know. Like I said, if you told me that this was a Miller High Life, I'd probably believe you.
Gotcha.
It's just a little bit, maybe a little bit lighter and crisper, actually. Maybe a light beer, almost. But it's not bad.
Nice. So what made you choose a Japanese beer, though? Were you just browsing the shelves at your local Binnie's or whatnot?
Just trying to do something different. And I did kind of a little bit of research that, Japanese beers, that's like some of these beers are kind of, they try to match the style of the beer with the diet, right? So the types of foods that are popular in Japan. And so that's why, all these, the Kirin Ichiban, Sapporo, Asahi, they all kind of have they're kind of a lighter lager.
Gotcha.
I guess there's a special yeast called Asahi number 318 that is the proprietary ingredient that is used to give Super Dry its dryness.
Oh, so it's like a local based Japanese yeast.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the differentiator then.
Yep. Exactly. Nice. Yeah. So,
Super Dry?
It is. I wouldn't say super dry. When I think of super dry, I think of like a champagne, like a dry champagne that you're drinking. This does not have that same dryness to it, or even like a wine, like a typical dry wine.
Yeah.
I don't get that out of it at all. But a little trivia that this was one of the first beers that came out where they, like, the popularity of this super Asahi Super Dry triggered, this was first created in 1987, so it's been around for a long time.
Oh, wow. 1987. But
the market success in Japan spawned similar competitive products that initiated what was known as the Dry Wars in Japan.
How long do they last for?
That I don't know, but ultimately it seems like the Super Dry is the ongoing winner, I would guess, right?
It's funny when the characteristic dry is used to describe, like you said, wine or champagne or even now beer. To me, it's always been like an oxymoron. I never, for some reason, I can't understand why something that is a liquid is characterized as dry. You know what I mean? But it's definitely interesting. So
it's pretty good, 5%, and of course the beer snobs over at Beer Advocate all hate it.
just you know, it's too normal.
It's just, yeah, crap. Very normal beer. Good for what it is. You know, calling it a college beer. No flavor. Cheap lager that tastes and acts like a cheap lager. Like,
what's what rating did they give it?
2.7.
2.7
out of five. Yeah,
that's terrible.
The score is it says score 65 poor.
65 poor.
I just disagree with that. I mean, it's just like, it's one of those types. It's just the type of beer. Like if you, like I said, pour me a cold one in a glass and I'm going to be like, what is this called? Beer? Like,
right. And Beer Advocate, like you said, it's basically craft beer or bust. Anything that's a normal drinking beer, they all get low ratings on that website or whatnot. Yeah. So
the more you can make it taste like you're drinking grain, alcohol, motor oil, you know, the higher rating you're going to get.
Barrel aged German beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Your stouts, your 14% barrel aged stouts. Yeah.
And if you can't see through it, the better the beer it is.
Right. Yeah. So
good. I am drinking coffee. We are doing this podcast remote this month. I'm drinking, so I don't know if you ever heard of like people having like burner cigars where they don't, like if you're out on the golf course, you're smoking just a regular cigar. It's not the very expensive cigar, you know, so it's like you call it a burner cigar because, you know, you light it, relight it, whatever it is.
Yep.
So during the week, I tend to have two different types of coffees that are like burner coffees to me. One is the Keurig pods, or when you're in a hurry, you just throw it in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is this, it's called Don Francisco's Dark Roast Arabica Coffee. I tend to like coffee, Arabica coffee, just for the flavor. But, you know, you put it in your electric grinder, grind it up, put it in your pot, and you just drink it. To me, it's a good flavor. It's not super expensive, but you're not, you know, you're in more of a hurry to where you can't prepare it the way exactly that you want. So it's not the best. It's not the worst. You know, it's just one of those ones that I like to drink.
So if I can recap that, the Don Francisco Dark Roast Arabica freshly ground beans is your burner coffee?
Yeah, it's my burner coffee, yeah. All the beans I grind them myself. It's my burner coffee.
Wow.
I don't know, as you know, I like to, if I like to actually, like on a weekend, grind the coffee manually and you know, get the grind exactly how I want. And, you know, I get into scales and all this stuff, right? But on the weekend or on the weekday, throw it in an electric grinder, grind it up, put it in a pot, brew it. It's good to go.
Oh, man. You'd be disappointed over at my house. You're getting a great value Keurig pod cup of coffee, buddy.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what. The great value decaf Arabica, however people say it, is a pretty good Keurig pod, the decaf one. It smells good, and it actually tastes really pretty good compared to the non-decaf one. So if you're not fixated on caffeine, give it a shot. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I like the I mean, I've tried a whole bunch of different of the Keurig pods, and I like the Great Value brand, like morning whatever, or just the regular whatever it's called. But it's like an Arabica or whatever.
So. Right. The knock, I guess, on pods really isn't the actual coffee that's in it. It's the same thing with, it's just the way it's brewed, right? What happens is the water gets channeled right down the middle. So it's not extracting the coffee from all of the grinds. It's just getting channeled down the middle, and it gives you a little bit of a different taste as opposed to if you do it yourself with like a Chemex or something. I'm geeking out on coffee.
You're like the guy from Breaking Bad, that brute that has his coffee system. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, I never seen the show, but if he drinks coffee, maybe I'll check it out.
He's a chemist, and he's got an elaborate coffee brewing system that he makes to make the perfect cup of coffee.
Oh, now wait a minute. I think he's a chemist, but isn't he like a drug dealing chemist or something like that?
So that's That's Walter White, but the other guy I was talking about was the one of the other guys that assists him. And I can't think of his character's name off the top of my head right now. But
I'll have to check it out. It's kind of like the old MASH where they brew their own alcohol, but just replace it with coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great, great. All right. Well, I think that next up, we're going to talk about some of the latest Business Central news. So stick around.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a shot of Business Central and Beer. And here we're in the shot segment. So we're going to give you some Business Central news and updates. Most notably, over the past 30 days, we have had 2022 Wave 1 rollout. The rollout started in mid-late April. There was actually a pause on some of the environments being updated. And then probably around early May, most environments should have been updated to version 20.0, which is 2022 Wave 1. So hopefully your environments, if you're running Business Central Online, have been updated to version 20. And as a matter of fact, as we sit here at the very end of May, version 20.1 has already been deployed to many environments. And there's a few updates to that. There's some localization updates, and then there's some feature changes that are pretty, non-important for most
boring
people. like fraud protection headers in the UK, country regional expansion, power platform and logic apps connector, and then add action on card and list pages to trigger a chosen flow from a web from the web client.
I think what was funny is that the country regional expansion was actually a lot. It was 20 new countries.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it says.
So pretty good amount.
You got your Angolas, your Bahrains, your Botswanas, Cyprus, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Jamaica, Maldives, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Trinidad and Tobago. Uruguay, Zimbabwe.
So I guess BC is now available in more than 70 countries. I'm going to have to do a little bit of research. I wonder if it's the same countries that the podcast is available in.
Probably. There's probably a good amount of overlap there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So that's 20.1 that should be out. So hopefully those updates I will tell you still, and I know I say this quite often, but I still appreciate every time I get emails that say that all these environments have been updated to automatically to the next and greatest version, without any action, being required.
It's right. So looking back 5, 6, 7 years ago, it's pretty amazing that it happens, right?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, in the old days, you deployed your software. We hopefully you went live on the latest version at least, when you deployed it. And then you knew you were going to be out of date and have to go through an upgrade in a year or two. It really is great.
People would put off the updates for like a year or two, like you're saying. Now it's every month. They're just there. It's there for cloud. It's amazing.
Yeah. I do have some additional little updates here. These are some things. So I, kind of at a macro level, Microsoft kind of announced their results for the latest quarter. And there's a few tidbits that are related to Business Central in here and indirectly Power Platform. So Microsoft says that the Power Platform is a $2 billion annual business currently with growth over 70%. So
it's huge.
Yeah. Huge number.
That number is by far and away a lot more than I would have expected it to be. I would have expected it to be kind of on par with everything else. 20, 25, 30% tops. 70% is a huge number.
Yeah. And Business Central is part of the Microsoft Business Applications Group, which Microsoft says now has more than 500,000 customers that are part of that.
Oh, so Business Central is part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, all the Dynamics 365 products and Power Platform fall under there. Gotcha. So over 200,000 Power BI customers as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular product.
Yep. So I won't get in. You know, those are kind of the Business Central kind of specific numbers that were out there. You know, there are a couple other little things that Microsoft is doing more with. I think we've talked about this in the past. There's on the Azure, part of the Azure cloud services, they've created. There's the ability to create what's called a data lake. Meaning just a big repository of data that you can access for various things. And there's some activity going on within Microsoft doing some new things with Business Central and the Azure data lakes for data warehousing and analytics purposes. And they just recently announced also that the default database that if you're using Power BI in Business Central, The default database is going to be the replicated copy of the Business Central database.
So the default database is going to be the replicated copy.
So I have to back up. So when you're running Business Central online, Microsoft is actually maintaining kind of two copies of your Business Central data. Okay. There's your actual production environment. And then it's kind of mirroring a copy of that in a second database.
For backup purposes or?
Actually for performance purposes. So what you can do is you can actually set up reports to run against the mirrored copy of the database.
Oh.
Right. And there's actually several reports that are standard that are out of the box with Business Central. They're running against this mirrored copy of the database.
So technically they're running in the background, but they're not affecting any of your actual performance.
That's exactly right. Yes. It's to minimize the performance impact on your production environment. And what Microsoft has now changed is that all of the Power BI reports now run off of that mirrored copy.
That's actually pretty a big deal, I would say, right? Because some of these Power BI reports, you know, let's just say hundreds of thousands of Excel lines or whatever it is, right? I mean, it could take a lot of time to run their report.
Absolutely, yeah. And even built-in reports, what inventory valuation report or whatever it is, these are pretty intensive processor intensive reports. Microsoft has out of the box set those to run against this copy. So these are some of the really under the hood, optimization improvements that they're making. So so you may see some stuff in the future about more expanded use of these Azure data lakes.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. And then we did get kind of a little bit of a sneak peek on Microsoft's roadmap for 2022 release wave 2, which is soon approaching in October.
Happens a lot faster than you think.
You know what? Yeah, take a big gulp it in, and then some other long-term goals. And a lot of the bullet points of where is Microsoft focusing are things that it's just kind of vague in general, like improved performance and resource utilization, improved onboarding, better Power Platform integration, right? Better development tools.
It's almost like a given for every major release.
Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, they're continuously doing all those things. But there is one noteworthy thing that I think is worth mentioning in here that is improved permissions management.
Oh, man.
So setting up user permissions, right, has long been the bane of several people's existence, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I personally looking at it, I don't know how they can make it any easier, but or how they could simplify it. It's pretty, but it's good if they can't.
Yeah, the way permissions are set up now, I mean, you literally have the utmost flexibility in terms of what you want to give someone the ability to see or to edit or to delete or to run. But, you know, with flexibility comes complexity.
Yeah.
So trying to find that happy medium in the middle of, you know, we want to give you this flexibility, but we also still have to make it less complex.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard to do.
So
what else you got?
You know, so we got that. You know, otherwise, and I'm not sure, this is just a piece of news, you know, internal Microsoft stuff. You know, there's some changes taking place within Microsoft and the business applications group and some of the leadership. I don't know if most people, you know, if it really impacts them in terms of who's doing what within Microsoft. But I did find it interesting that the leader of the group who's responsible for the partner program,
okay,
is that Microsoft is rolling out a completely new partner program like this year.
Yeah.
That the leader of that group is leaving Microsoft.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's not I recently read that James Phillips left Microsoft. And I was that. I wonder if he's that same guy.
This is someone else. And I apologize. I don't have his name at.
No worries.
Just at my disposal, but I just thought it's funny that they just completely revamped the partner. It used to be called the Microsoft Partner Network.
Yeah.
And now it's called the Microsoft Cloud Partner Program. With a whole bunch of new requirements and changes that are part of that, but just thought it interesting that the
leader of it is left.
The person at the top of that is departing and moving on to some other company. So
we should build some squares to see if it gets revamped again in the next year or two. Then.
What's the over under on the next major changes to the partner program? Yeah.
Too funny.
There you go. Well, I think the over, I think, you know, if you picked 4 years between when the last set of changes were released and this one, and you took the under, you'd have won that.
Absolutely. So. All right. Anything That's else about... before I jump into the few things I got?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
All right. So I noticed that finally available is the new demo tool and demo data for manufacturing scenarios for partners to demo manufacturing organizations. And it says that the demo tool is available. It's called Contoso Coffee. It's an extension that you can install into any environment. I did not get a chance to find it and actually install it, but I believe it's available right now. So that's pretty good for partners.
Contoso Coffee, that's a manufacturing company right up your alley, huh?
Yeah, there you go. And then the only other thing I got is, it's interesting that Mike Morton was doing an interview, I believe it was with Dynamics World. And, you know, he was asked about exposing information to people who don't have licenses and whether or not Microsoft is about finding new scenarios to get these same people involved at the team license member level. And I'm going to read to his response. He says, yes, And right now, the access they're getting is read-only. You can imagine in time, maybe those folks have the ability to do things like accept or reject. It's not like they're going to get significant write access, but there could be certain collaboration or workflow scenarios that they can enable. They may not be creating records or maybe not even modifying them, but doing something to move the business processes along. I thought that was kind of interesting. So they're kind of alluding to maybe team functionality licenses getting a little bit more functionality. But to his respect, though, they're not only read-only right now. I think we found in the past that you can do minimal things with them, right?
You can, yeah, you can edit existing records.
Right.
So you cannot insert a new record into the database.
Right. So you can't create a new quote, but you can edit an existing quote.
Correct. Yes.
Gotcha.
Or even right. And I think and I believe, you know, that maybe there's even another user type that doesn't exist today that could exist. Right. So you have a full user, right, with prices of you know, for a Business Central premium license, $100, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got a team member, which is like what? I don't know, $8, $10?
Yeah. Right around there.
US dollars. You know, and though the team member, right, can read any data from Business Central, can run reports, mm-hmm. can edit existing records. I think maybe somewhere in the middle there's still what maybe used to be called like a more of like a limited user.
Mm-hmm.
I think of like a salesperson, right? Maybe a salesperson can create new contacts.
Gotcha.
They can create an interaction to say that they're, you know, they talk to someone at a prospect or a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, or they could insert a comment maybe somewhere. But those are all record inserts, which are prohibited from the team member. So, you know, I don't have any, unfortunately, inside information that's something that Microsoft's even considering right now. That's just my thought is that there's like a place maybe for like a $40 user a month.
User.
That does, yeah. It's like okay, you can insert records, but you can only insert these specific records, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Maybe that's what he's alluding to. I don't know, but only time will tell, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that's the two little bits of news that I got. Ken, you got anything else before we move on?
No, I think we're looking forward to speaking with Molly Fuschel over at Dynamics User Group. Doug,
yep.
It should be fun.
Hey, everybody. Ken and Michael here for A Shot of Business Central and a Beer. And on today's featured guest segment, we have the true pleasure of having Molly Fuschel on the show. Molly is president of Dynamics User Group, which is a community for users, implementers, and resellers of Microsoft Dynamics, as well as Microsoft Dynamics 365. So welcome to the show, Molly. How are you?
Hello, and cheers, I feel like is an appropriate way to introduce myself and say hello to both of you. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me and excited to talk about community.
Great. We are very excited to have you as well. And like I said, as always, joined by Ken. So Ken, how you doing too, my friend?
Yep. Doing great. Yeah, we're about the community as well. I mean, that's why we're doing this. So I'm excited to hear about the group and the conferences and everything and ready to hear more about it.
All right. So I think we should probably start off with asking Molly to maybe tell us a little bit about herself and her background, you know, a little bit about who she actually is. So Molly, how about it?
All right, let's dive in. So I've had the pleasure of being in the community centralized space with Microsoft products since 2015. And in 2019, I had left my previous company and actually thought I was going to hop out of this space. And I'm really excited and thankful to say that the owners of Dynamics User Group, Jonathan Stipula and Jacob Roeder, convinced me that there was really a lot more to be done here. There was a lot of ways that I could help contribute to a greater good of building community. And I'm super glad that I signed up and joined the ride, because it's certainly been that ever since, for the last 2 years since I joined Dynamics User Group. And when I joined, we were just talking about putting on a virtual event at the end of 2020. So this was May of 2020. And keep in mind, that's right when we had all just faced in the US a shutdown from COVID and events, and just our whole community space was really disrupted. And so where do we go next, right? And so Jonathan and Jacob thought, let's have an online event, virtual, that's accessible to everyone, doesn't have a registration fee, and let's make sure that sponsors just really help us fund what we're doing here, high quality execution, pre-recorded sessions, but also equally important, again, to give community that voice, because we weren't together anymore in person. So we started doing the concept of crowdsourced content. So we rolled out the Superhero Dynamics Con theme and had voting on all of the sessions, and the top voted sessions got onto the conference agenda. So it was really, really, really special to see how much engagement we got out of that. I mean, we really were, Dynamics User Group traditionally was a discussion forum, an open source discussion forum that had been in existence since 1995. And then John and Jake started meetups in 2016. Well, obviously meetups was on hold in 2020, but this event, certainly just using that Doug name and wealth of history and knowledge in the Dynamics products, and then just bringing that to the screen, right? Bringing it to the small screen, as we love to say, it was really special. So from there, Dynamics User Group, again, also known as Doug, has really blossomed. We've built out the forums. We've started a YouTube channel that has all that virtual event content on it. We just finished our fourth edition of Dynamics Con virtual. We have live events now. The meetups is growing. So many cool things happening at Doug. And the membership is free. That's probably our biggest distinction for Dynamics User Group, is we have no membership fee. We put that onus on our wonderful supporting sponsors and partners, and they have really stepped up to the plate, and that makes this user organization so attractive. But there's very low risk when there's no sign-up fee, right, guys?
Yeah, we like free.
Yeah.
Oh, free. Absolutely. So you said you've been around since, the group has been around since 1995, was that correct?
Yes, Dynamics User Group started by now a Microsoft MVP, Eric Ernst, who was, I believe, working with the Navision product at the time, was told to sit down in this chair and do all these things with this tool he had never used, and he had no other resources at his company. And he said, I can't be the only one that gets put into a new job that doesn't know how to use a tool. And so he had this beautiful idea to start this open source forum online to ask questions about the product. And it's really just, again, has such a rich history online of our community asking questions and getting answers from each other.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a little bit before my time, obviously, with
mine as well.
So yeah, Ken, you've been in the game a lot longer than I have. Did you hear about Dynamics User Group from years ago?
Yeah, you know what? And what's funny is I never really put the two together, you know. Eric's an old schooler, like myself. You know, we've been doing Navision since 1999. And once we started talking about all this, I'm like, oh yeah, the forum and the, yes. You know, I've been using that for years, 20 years. So, and now I don't know why I didn't join that together with Dynamics Con, you know, and the conference coming up in September.
Yeah. Dynamics Con has such unique branding with the superhero theme that to me, that's what really stood out when I first noticed it. So maybe that's why you didn't equate Dynamics Con with the Dynamics.
Absolutely. User group. I think I was just going to say that too.
You know, yes. Yeah. the Dynamics Con, they're really, you guys are really promoting it as, I love the branding, so it's really being promoted as a great community experience, I guess.
Yeah, probably one of our biggest marketing efforts and concentration has been not only to promote the education and connection experience of community, right, but it's also about building your professional and personal self, right? So it's a lot of personal development. We talk a lot about individualized membership and individualized superhero growth and learning product better. And we're really kind of trying to bring that tribal presence and feel to community. And the superhero theme is a great avenue to do that. It's fun. We send people capes and things like that. Like everybody just gets really into it. And you want to be a superhero of your product, right? And one thing I didn't mention that's probably applicable. So of course, we have a really, really big Dynamics 365 BC audience, but also CEFO still definitely have a community for Dynamics GP and Power Platform as well. So Power, of course, is so intertwined with your BC audience and a lot of our other community members.
Nice. So is somebody like the true big Marvel or DC Comics fan or anything like that?
So that's a great question. I think that Jonathan or John Cipula, our owner, he came up with the naming convention Dynamics Con after Comic-Con. He's like, so let's just call it Dynamics Con, like Comic-Con. So maybe he's like truly a really big fan, but he hasn't said one way or the other. We should definitely throw that out there and see.
We definitely got to find out now.
Yes, exactly. And with the Marvel movies, I actually, I'm going to admit this to everyone. My husband loves them, watches every single one. I don't think I've watched an entire Marvel movie yet, but I feel like I need to, because it could quickly be aligned with Dynamics Con branding and things like that.
Absolutely.
Michael, are you you're just looking for an excuse to wear a cape out in public?
I am. I got the whole costume with the big ass. I'm a huge frequenter of comics, or what is it? Comic-Con.
Yes. Yes. Are you really?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I've never been to one. I think I got an extra cape, Michael. I'd be happy to send it to you.
One day I'll check it out.
Fantastic.
Oh, too funny. Let's see. Ken, you got something you want to ask? You want me to keep going here?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I'm interested to hear. I'm actually going to be attending the Dynamics Con conference in September. Leading one of the sessions out there. So I'd love to dive into that and hear more about that conference and what people can expect.
Absolutely. Oh, we're so excited to have you, Ken. And thank you again for being a speaker at DynamicsCon Live. So this is our second in-person event. It's happening in San Antonio, Texas, September 14th through the 16th. And again, we're covering all five products that we serve as our community-centric org. And it's going to be great. Two really packed days of content. I should know, Ken, exactly where you fall on the agenda, but I know that you're amongst really, really great speakers in the space. And my goal was that everyone leaves each day and, comes into like after the first day, they come right into the reception just to celebrate each other and all the learning we did. I hope they all walk in just super exhausted from all the the learning they got out of the sessions. So we've got a really packed agenda, all user-focused content, which was picked by our fantastic programming committee. And our programming committee is made up of really just stewards of the community and folks that have been around for a long time and experts in their product. And beyond the educational piece, which of course is very, very important, we have lots of networking activities planned. We kept the ticket price really low for users again, right? This is a user-focused conference, so we really wanted to be mindful again of the users. And we have some users that are in the nonprofit space, and every dollar they can spend, and if they even get the okay to attend a conference, it's really important that price point is low. So we have a $500 price point for all of that education and the networking, but that includes like your breakfast, lunch, and appetizers at night. We tried to throw in everything we could. Again, if you're focusing this for users, we want to be really mindful that we all have budgets, but they have some really tight budgets at times. And so we certainly want them there. And Ken, if you know of anybody that is hoping to come and budget is a concern, just send them my way and we will work it out real quick.
Absolutely. I think I saw somebody make reference to that on the internet. So great job helping people out.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. We really don't want to create any barriers. We just want to create opportunity. And we're new, right? We're newer in this space as a company that has full-time employees and really trying to build that whole community feel beyond our conferences, you know, the other 363 days a year outside of Dynamics Fun Live. We welcome everybody and we just want them to check it out and see what Doug's all about.
Awesome. Going forward, do you think that you will phase out the virtual aspect of the conferences or maybe it'll be completely opposite where you bring in more virtual events?
That's a great question. And I get asked that a lot. That's probably the number one question that myself and my teammates get asked. And it really depends on what the community wants. So the community really asked that we go in person. And so we talked to our huge supporters, and they were really on board. And so we were able to move forward with that. Our virtual event, and I can speak to 2023, we will certainly have a Dynamics Con virtual event again. It is our connection to our global community members, because not all of them, it's just not in the cards for a lot of them to come to an in-person event in the US. And so as we build our reach through meetups and maybe someday an in-person event in Europe, we want to make sure that we have that opportunity in place to keep connecting as a community on that global scale. And so the virtual event is a great avenue for that. So, you know, as the world shifts, right, that's what I always say, along with our program offerings just in general for Doug, as the world shifts, you know, we have a TikTok channel now because people absorb content in very small, short increments. And so we started putting content out on TikTok because that's where some of our demographic is. So it'll mm-hmm. depend on what the community wants. We try to keep our ears open, and I think we're really fortunate because we are a small team. We're nimble and we're constantly shifting. Not too much, of course, but you know, you're able to shift and hear what the community wants and not just do what we think they want necessarily. So great question.
Yeah, I think that you guys are one of the first user groups to actually embrace the virtual aspect of it during the pandemic. So it's one of the other things that caught my eye really fast about Dynamics User Group or Doug. Is that you guys very easy to you know, basically adapt to your surroundings, so to speak.
Love it. Have you guys had the opportunity to both attend Dynamics Con virtual in the past?
I have not. Ken, I'm not sure if you have.
No. We just actually it was probably, what was it, Michael? Maybe about 6 months ago. I think there was an event, there might have been a live event around that time, maybe out in California.
Yes.
That's when we kind of hit our radar and we started understanding what it was about right around that time.
Excellent. Love it. That's great. Well, consider this a personal invitation from me to attend all of our events, including the in-person and virtual.
Ken's going to be speaking at all of them.
Yes, I was going to say, and Ken, you're off to the best start. You're speaking at Dynamics Con Live in September. Love it.
Yeah, no, I really do enjoy, speaking and have an opportunity to work with users. I mean, that's still my favorite thing to do and just help solve problems and figure out solutions to what they're trying to accomplish. So. I do really enjoy it.
And I'll have to go peek and see. I was going to say the forums are there, Ken. And if you know about the forums, I bet we could even find some history of you participating in them.
Yeah, you definitely can find. I don't know if you can find it, but you can find me using the forum to.
There you go. Fantastic.
So what's I guess what's the vision then for Dynamics Con going forward? Is it just to really embrace the whole community aspect and bring people together and, you know, give them different ways to learn different things or what?
Yes, That's you asked about DynamicsCon, and I'll answer it on behalf of DynamicsCon and Doug. Yeah, I think that's our goal, right? Just to keep doing what we're doing. It's going really well. Again, we continue to get increased support from our fantastic reseller and ISV members. And then we're also getting really, really, really great traction with Microsoft. They've been big advocates for us, and big, just they've been noticing, right? I guess that's the best way to put it. They've really taken notice to what we're doing, and I think we just stay on our path consistently and just try to get our name out there more and let people know. We also, you know, really take the stance that there are so many community efforts now out of COVID, right? I think you hear and see the word community attached to so many things in our ecosystem. And so we just like to say you have a lot of options, a lot of options now post-COVID. I mean, community was almost a little ahead of its time pre-COVID. And now it's the way that people stay connected. And especially with the shift to remote working and things like that permanently. So I think, yeah, our goal is just to keep connecting people, finding different ways, doing a lot of A/B testing. One thing we have on our new Doug Hub site, so dynamicsusergroup.com, we lovingly call it the Doug Hub. It's got all the programs mm-hmm. on one page. We have a contact or connect with the community form on that website. And it's everything from, do you want to enhance your career? Do you want to get connected with a partner? Are you a user looking to connect with another user? Are you looking for a meetup? Are you looking for a recruiter? So we're just kind of throwing some things out there. And again, it's our job to be stewards and that vehicle for our users and our partners into getting the most out of community. So it's fun to try things like that and see what works. You know, that form has been surprisingly very, very popular. We threw it out just to see how it would go. And again, the users, they just need that vehicle. They need us to help them get where they're trying to go and help be a part of that journey. And so finding new ways to do that. And again, kind of ditching what doesn't work and trying new things to see what does, that's kind of the goal.
Yeah. Go for it, Kent. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So obviously we here at A Shot of Business Central and a Beer are focused on Business Central, right? And yes. You know, the DynamicsCon is like you mentioned, customer engagement, finance and operations, GP, Power Platform. Without getting maybe into exact numbers, where does Business Central fall in terms of the volume of activity or members, right? Is that relative to kind of the other Microsoft Dynamics solutions that are part
of it? That's a great question, and I'm happy to answer it. So specifically for DynamicsCon Live, the upcoming event, I would say Business Central is our most popular track. We have the most people registered in that track. I think, and also in Doug, and across all of our different programs from the YouTube channel, TikTok, to DynamicsCon Virtual, to the forums. We are seeing the most activity in Business Central. But I think that's very common across the D365 space right now, right? BC is just blowing up everywhere. So I think I would be concerned if we weren't aligned with that same rhythm a little bit. And so definitely seeing, I would say, the most activity out of Business Central today. Where it gets a little, you know, Ken, just to break down your question a little bit further, where it gets a little bit confusing is the power aspect. We have a lot of people, and we always like to track this metric is BC and power. So we're getting also a large increase in seeing people select both interest levels for both products too.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I mean, yeah, Power BI is embedded inside Business Central. So if you're using yes. Business Central, you're probably going to be using Power BI, and you're probably interested in Power Automate and how you can kind of
exactly.
Use that. So
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we, you know, the Business Central old schoolers, you know, take great pride in our community. Like you're going yes. years back. I mean, the Navision, whether you're talking about the partner channel or just the users, I mean, there yes. was always a really high level of, activity and interest and excitement, you know, around it. And so That's good to hear that, you know, I'm so happy that Business Central is still, you know, it's still that way.
Absolutely.
Still one of the favorites. Yeah,
there's like a lifer, diehard feel behind Business Central. I feel like you have people that have been on every version of this product since it first came out. I still have many regular folks in our community that will tell you stories of how they've used this their entire career. And I mm-hmm. think that's really special. And those are the people we need, right? We need to get to hear that history. We need that to embed in the newness level and the folks that are newer to the product to just understand the history of where it came from. And so I always love talking to community members that have really, again, they've been in this for the long haul with BC. And I think it's funny too, Ken, maybe you recognize this and Michael, you as well, but across the D365 products and GP and Empower, of course, they all different product groups kind of have their own personality. And so I always enjoy that too, because the Business Central group to me is, again, they're these diehards that are so dedicated to their product. And I feel like Microsoft heard that, right? And that's where it's really gotten a good boost in my humble opinion anyway.
Yeah, I mean there's people out there, you know, you start badmouthing NAV or Business Central, they'll fight you.
I know. That's when our forums really come alive, Ken.
I may or may not be one of those people.
Good for you.
Like Ken's going to be quarantined at Dynamics Con. Stay only in your section, Ken.
Funny. But he'll have all these people who are just really excited to talk to him. So they'll break those invisible barriers anywhere. Yeah. And be like, you're part of BC. You're one of us.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Almost sounds like a good podcast for the Doug group to have, getting old Business Central people on there and talking about the product, why they love it.
Absolutely. We should do a part two.
All right. So let's see. I pretty much almost touched on everything. I just want to mention one thing that I was reading through some of your LinkedIn articles, Molly. And I really love the way you guys like embrace the word community. I saw that you've actually found ways to, you know, give presents to people who needed them during the holidays. And you actually ran donated some money for a keynote speaker or whatnot. So I think that's awesome to where you're, you know, not only saying community, but you're really embracing community and helping people out. So kudos.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So this is just a funny personal tidbit to add. When I had mentioned earlier, when I was just talking about my history in the space, when I thought I was leaving this space and particularly just that community centric organizational structure, I just felt like it really wasn't, my experience was that although my previous employer maybe had positioned themselves as a community-centric and base and model, I didn't feel that it didn't match with what I would envision as community. And so when I was approached to help with Dynamics Con Virtual, I kind of got this bad vibe, right? Like, no, we're not really doing this for the right reasons. Like, you're doing this for the wrong reasons, potentially, and I don't want to be a part of that again. That's why I left. But when I heard our owners say, you know, proceeds we have, any net profit we have after expenses are paid, we'll donate that. We'll do good for others. And I was like, okay, that was my light bulb moment of getting back involved. It's like, that's what community is. It's about giving back. It's about supporting each other. Even, I mean, directly in our community, of course, but indirectly, even outside of our reach in this ecosystem, right? It's just about doing greater good for others. And so we've held true to that, which has been really awesome. We're just about to post something very similar in the next couple of days, supporting that tragedy that we had in Texas recently. It's really just, that's what community is. And so I'm really glad that our owners have stayed true to that and really let us come find creative ways. And just to note, in our financials were very public after the first Dynamics Con, for example, we lost a ton of money doing that event. Okay. I mean, we lost a ton of money after everything was paid, but we still donated. Like, it was still a priority of ours to include that in the books, in the process. And so that is what community is about.
Yeah, I think you said it best in one of your articles. I think you said it where it was for the community, by the community. So
right. Perfect. That's right. Yes. Yes.
All right. Ken, anything else before we ask about favorite alcoholic drink or whether or not Molly even likes to drink alcohol?
Well, that's been the question I've been waiting for, Michael.
I was going to say, if you guys don't ask it, I'm going to ask you first.
That's why we do this podcast. Nobody cares about Business Central. No, I'm just kidding.
I love it. Well, I feel like, and I would love to hear your answers to the same question after I give mine as well. But I feel like I have to give you a two-part answer because it is with a shot of beer, right? So I feel like I do need to honor the name of this podcast and first call out my favorite beer, which is a Wisconsin brewed beer. It's called Spotted Cow, if you've ever heard of it. Michael, maybe you've heard of it, being a little closer to there.
Yeah, I've heard. I've had it. I think we've even had it on the show, Ken. Right?
That's fantastic.
I think we did. Yeah, it's been maybe about 2 years ago. Yeah. And what's interesting is that, you know, we're in Illinois, and you can't get it in Illinois, so you have to drive to Wisconsin to buy it and bring it back.
They're onto something with that, because my parents live just on the Minnesota side outside of Wisconsin. They live right outside of La Crosse, Wisconsin, and they always go and get my husband and I a case of Spotted Cow when they come to visit, because you can't buy it if you're not in Wisconsin. So super cool. I love that kind of exclusivity they put on those cows.
Yep. On those keeps their economy going.
Exactly. And then otherwise, I would say my go-to is champagne or champs. You might see me type about some champs. My champagne love is the other one. So I like low-calorie champagne, too, of all things. So
that's awesome. I've never had low-calorie champagne. I didn't even know they had it.
I know they do. And it's low alcohol too. So that I feel like that's a good balance both ways. Yeah. So
catch 22.
I have a champagne story. It's I forget exactly what it was for, but we were celebrating. And so I got a nice bottle of champagne. And so I started drinking it, and I think I was literally still drinking it, and I had a headache already.
Some people cannot handle the champs. It's just not
so for them. I can't hack it. I'll be the first to admit champagne's not for me. I'm more of a beer guy.
The carbonation, maybe?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It might be, or like the way they oxidize it, then you put alcohol on top of it. Some people definitely have that reaction. It's funny you say that, Ken, because I was thinking for a brief moment, like, maybe we should do like a champagne toast at Dynamics Con Live in September. I'm like, nope, because half the people that start sipping it get headaches. So that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Ken's out.
I can handle a few sips. It's just once I get to like, you know, 3/4 of a bottle, I think.
Oh, they're all okay. Yeah. That's different. Okay.
All right, so it might not have something to do with the carbonation. It might just be the consumption amount.
Yes,
user issue, right?
Yes. Operational hazard.
It always switches to the champagne and beers, MGD.
Yes. Ken, what is your favorite beverage of choice? I'll start with you.
Oh, wow. Beer. Well, that's easy. That's an easy one. you know, what kind of beer? So Pilsners IPAs are my two go-tos. So
love it. You know. And Michael?
So I'm not as, my taste palate is not as sophisticated as Ken's when it comes to beer. My favorite beers are pretty much predominantly like a Mexican beer. So Modelo and Corona are tops on my list.
Fantastic. Dos Equis?
That's below Modelo and Corona, but still very good beer.
There you go. Yes. I do like the Modelo myself too, once in a while. So yeah. Good choice.
it's funny, cause as we've been doing this podcast, and I never really drank a lot of beer, but, as we do more and more episodes, I tend to find myself liking stronger and stronger beers, right, Ken?
Yeah. Michael has it in for me, cause he's bringing like these 12% beers in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's a lot more than my low calorie, low alcohol champagne.
Yeah. I tend to like whiskey and things like that. So I guess Maybe that's where the strongness comes in, where I like the stronger beers now.
maybe like to sip the stronger beers. Well, hopefully, Michael, maybe you can join us in San Antonio for Dynamics Con Live and you can sip a beer outside. We've got a lot of beautiful property that we're going to be on. So
I'll bring a bottle of champagne for Ken.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, too funny. Well, I've got no more questions for you, Molly. Ken, anything else?
Yeah, no, just thank you for joining us. It's been fun, and we're excited about, you know, the group and heading to the conference in the fall. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you both having me, and love to get you more involved in the Doug community. Thanks again.
Thank you. We truly appreciate it. So. And we are back for the featured app segment, which today we're going to be talking about an app called Excel Journal Import by Chase Software. This app was actually recommended to us by one of our listeners. And, you know, what according to Chase Software, what the app actually provides is you can create journal lines in Microsoft Excel and import them directly into Business Central. Says that there's no need to create a specific Excel layout or template. And here's a big one. It supports all fields in the general journal line table, even new or custom fields, as well as global dimensions and shortcut dimensions. I think what they really set out to do is just make it easy to import data into the general journal, or, you know, different ledger items, things like that. It seems simple and installed, you know, fairly easy. But Ken, you might want to talk a little bit about when you gave it a shot.
Yeah, so I did. I was able to install it, test it. It worked. I for some reason could not get my global one dimension code values imported from my Excel sheet that I had. All the other fields seemed to work. So it is. It's you know, if it's available at the right price point, right? Which is what?
Which is free, absolutely free.
Yeah. So you certainly you know, you can install it, check it out, see how it works. There may be scenarios if you have a user who's just really comfortable working in Excel and is not very technical. I see how this may be a useful tool. Right. For them to use. But with that said, you know, the vast majority of the Business Central users we support do not have this, right? So, you know, how do they survive without it? And the answer is one of three ways, let's say.
Okay.
The first way is that they set up a standard journal within the general journal, or a recurring general journal. And they've got the framework for their entry set, and then they just update the mounts, let's say, or dates or whatever per period that they have to post that entry. So that's the first way. The second way is you actually could just create a configuration package on the general journal line table and put the fields that you want in there. A little bit more technical, maybe, right? Or you have to have help maybe creating the Excel template.
Got some scary words in there when you said configuration package.
Oh, yeah. Don't you get nervous, right? Configuration package. It's really just a data import tool from Excel, right?
Yeah.
And then the third way, which is maybe surprising to some people, is that if you open up your general journal page, you can just copy a row, paste it into Excel, and it creates the template effectively. You actually can go in, then fill in your rows with values, copy the rows, and literally just click on a row and paste directly into the general journal page.
That seems like the simplest way to me.
Right.
Yep. Right. I mean, everybody knows how to copy and paste in Microsoft software nowadays. So.
Yep. So you do have, right, there's the edit in Excel functionality where you can go to the page. So this is maybe a fifth method that you could use for this. Edit in Excel, and you just move it into Excel, hit publish in Excel, and it writes the records back into Business Central. So a lot of different ways. It's always good to have a lot of different options, and this is another option.
Would you say this is for like the very inexperienced user, right? This is a beginner's tool.
I would say someone in the accounting area or finance area who's doing journal entries, not extremely technically savvy, right?
Yeah.
And just wants a simple tool, something easy that they can use to import from Excel. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, all right.
But we love the price point, right? And so this is one of those apps that's like, yeah, maybe, you know, go into a sandbox environment, install the app, check it out. You know, if it works for your business case, awesome.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, free, works great. Can't go wrong.
Right.
But, you know, copy and paste is also easy and pretty free.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, that about brings us to the end of this episode. We just got one more thing before we leave. Ken's got to do the almighty popular rating of the, I forgot the name of the beer already.
Asahi.
Asahi. Japanese beer. It's a super dry beer. It's our first super dry beer on a shot at Business Central and a beer. So the rating is going to be a little bit different maybe.
Gosh, I've like really pigeonholed myself into high ratings. I got to tell you, I think at some point what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go back and like re-rate all these beers.
Yeah.
Into something a little bit more reasonable.
I think official beer rating scales are only like 1 through 5. So maybe we'll go back and give it the official rating.
Yeah, I'm caught up in the 80s and 90s on all my beers now.
It's because you love beer, though. I mean,
well, that is true.
It's like me with pizza. Like, come on.
So I tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to do something that I've not done before. So we have a first here, shot of Business Central in the beer. And I'm gonna go half point rating here.
Half point?
Yeah.
Oh, when you actually give it the actual full, okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say 89.5.
Wow, super high. Well, not super high, but higher than I would have thought. Now, do you have your ratings in front of you?
Yeah. So
what did you rate, like Budweiser or something comparable to it?
Yep. So the 90s are an Omega Haze, like a hazy IPA.
Yeah.
I got Modelo at 91, you know, the Carlsberg at 94. So, this is right above the Orville Trappist Ale.
Right? Gotcha.
So that's kind of like my barometer. I'm like, okay, if I can have an Orville Trappist Ale or an Asahi, I'll take the Asahi.
So you said it was 89.5?
That's right, yeah.
Ken setting the precedent with the half ratings. I love it. You know we pigeonhole ourselves into crazy ratings then if you're going half points.
Yeah. We're gonna have to go back and re-rank all our beers here to give ourselves a little bit more
fighting chance. Yeah. Well, all right then. That does bring us to the end of the podcast. So everybody, like the podcast whenever you see it. Share it with your friends. We truly appreciate it. And we will catch everybody next month. Ken?
Bye-bye.
As we end today's podcast, we want to give a big thank you to everyone who listens, shares this podcast, and leaves us reviews. You've taken a good amount of your time out of your day, and we truly appreciate it. Thanks again. And don't be afraid to email us at marketing@solsyst.com with your tips for the podcast, or maybe you'd even like to be a guest during an episode.